Jacob and Laban. We're back into Genesis, chapter 29, and Jacob has run away from his brother who was threatening to kill him, and he's going to visit Uncle Laban. Yes, he's going to learn a few things while he's with Uncle Laban. We call it the school of hard knocks, how you learn things sometimes and hard experiences, and he's going to find out a few things. So, with the next one, please, we'll look at, I think it's Genesis 29, if my memory serves me correctly. And I'll just read these first 30 verses to you. Bear with me. Then Jacob continued on his journey and came to the land of the eastern peoples. There he saw a well in the field with three flocks of sheep lying near it, because the flocks were watered from that well. The stone over the mouth of the well was large. When all the flocks were gathered there, the shepherds would roll the stone away from the well's mouth and water the sheep. Then they would return the stone to its place over the mouth of the well. Jacob asked the shepherds, "My brothers, where are you from?" "We're from Haran," they replied. He said to them, "Do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson?" "Yes, we know him," they answered. Then Jacob asked them, "Is he well?" "Yes, he is," they said. "And here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep." "Look," he said, "the sun is still high and it's not time for the flocks to be gathered. Water the sheep and take them back to the pasture." "We can't," they replied, "until all the flocks are gathered and the stone has been rolled away from the mouth of the well. Then we will water the sheep." While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. When Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep and weep aloud. He had told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and the son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." We'll see the rest of the story as we go along. Okay, right. Let's look at our next one then first. Yeah. Jacob continued on his journey. I've highlighted the word continue because in the original Hebrew it says Jacob lifted his feet. Well, you can't move without lifting your feet, can you? But the significance of that is Jacob's just had an experience of God. God met with him in that dream, remember? The ladder he saw and all that, yeah? God met with him and said he'd bless him and look after him and bring him back. So Jacob's got a promise that he's going to be okay. And so he lifts his feet. That means he steps a bit faster and a bit lighter, yeah? Well, you had good news. Does that make you walk better? Well, it did Jacob anyway. So he's heading off to this place called Haran, up in the the Euphrates area and all that, yeah? Right, okay, next one please. There he saw a well in the open country with three flocks of sheep lying near, because the flocks were watered from that well. So this was a... And why did they have a stone over the well? Do you know? Keep it clean. Keep it clean, yes. It's obviously protecting it, yeah? When all the flocks were gathered, the shepherds would roll the stone away from the well's mouth and water the sheep. And we've been told in this, the well's cover, the stone on top of it, was large, heavy. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. When they watered the sheep, they protected it by putting a cover over it again. Right. Next one, please. Jacob asked the shepherds, "My brothers, where are you from?" Well, they aren't his brothers, are they? It's been friendly, you know. They sort of greet each other in sort of friendly ways, yeah? When you meet people and you say hello, are you friendly? Mm-hmm. He was, you see. Yeah, you can learn from Jacob. "My brothers, where are you from?" "We're from Haran," they replied. He said to them, "Do you know Laban, Nahor's grandson?" "Yes, we know him," they answered. Now, forgive my sense of humour on this one, but you'll find out that Laban is quite a sharp dealer. Yeah? And I just wonder how they answered Jacob. Then, you know, he said, "Do you know my uncle Laban?" They would have said, "Yes, we know him," or "Yes, we know him." Yeah? I think that's probably more fun to be honest, yeah? Anyway, he's not picked up the nuances at this point, obviously, of course. But it's interesting, Jacob arrived at just the right place. Here are these guys who know where to go for him, yeah? I mean, Haran may be a fairly big spot, so he knows, he's met people who know where he needs to go. Was that an accident?
No.
I'm glad you know that, yes. God's in charge of the details, right? So then, next then please. Then Jacob asked them, is he well? Yes, he said. He is, they said. And here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep. How about that for timing? Yeah? Just right, the girl turns up at the well, and she's a shepherdess. She's looking after the sheep. Well, to look after sheep, it's a hard job, you know. Right? And all the others are blokes. Yeah, but she's the shepherdess. Wonder why. He had sons, you know. So why she got the job of looking after the sheep? Don't know.
Cheap labour.
Cheap labour. Yeah, I'll talk into that. Yeah, you never know. It may be that. I mean, we're going to look at this and next week in particular. The women in this particular time in the Bible were not treated well, dear friends. Yeah? They were not, well, and later on as well, of course. So, yeah, some did all right, but yeah, anyway, maybe cheap labour. Anyway, she turns up at just the right time. It's not an accident again. No. Who's in charge after all then? And you thought you were, I can say that myself. I thought I was in charge of moving to Southwark. When Jean and I moved from Leeds, you know. I was in charge of moving to Southwark. But I wasn't. God got me there to get me saved. That's good, isn't it? I'm so glad he did, yeah. So, Jacob, just the right time. Good. Next one, please. Look, he said. The sun is still high. It's not time for the flocks to be gathered. Water the sheep and take them back to the pasture. We can't, they replied. No, it's we can't. Yeah. What's that mean? We won't. I don't so-and-so's, are they? I mean, well, it's Jacob interfering in a way, in a sense, yeah. But you'll discover that Jacob is a first-class farmer. Over the next few years, he's going to learn about farming with a capital F, yeah? But why does he say, water the sheep now and get them out feeding again? Find them up! Yeah, that's what he's thinking, yeah? But they say, no, we can't! Until all the flocks are gathered and the stone's been rolled away from the mouth of the well, then we will water the sheep. Well, does it take all them men to move the well cover? Apparently not. We can't. Just beware, when you say we can't, you mean we won't. Next one, please, yeah? While he was still talking with him, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess, actually. Would you say shepherd or shepherdess?
Shepherdess.
Yeah. When Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of his uncle Laban, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. How about that? He lifted the, well, rolled the stone, it says, yeah? Yeah. Lads, have you ever done that to impress the girl? You know, the macho stuff. Yeah? Yeah! Well, I don't know if you... Babe, I might have thought that, yes. Anyway, move the stone. He was impressive, wasn't he? Off to a good start. Yeah? And he does that, and he waters the sheep, yeah? So, there we are. Next one, please. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to leap away. Actually, the sentence, it tells you here, he had told her, he didn't just go up and kiss her, you see, you don't do that sort of thing, you know? He told her he was a relative, and that he was coming to visit the family and all that sort of thing. So they're on friendly terms before the kissing starts, okay? Right, yeah. He kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. He told her that he was a relative of his father and a son of Rebekah. So he ran and told her father. Now, why does he weep? Because he's a softie. Yeah, well, possibly so. But do you know, I think he's missing his mum already. You know, he grew up with mum, hasn't he, really? Yeah, and it's his mother's relatives he's with. I think that's part of it, you know. Just the whole emotional stuff can get you, can't it? Does emotion get you sometimes? Well, it does Jacob, yeah. So, she goes off and tells Dad, there's a guy turned up, and he's called Jacob, and he's a relative. And when Laban hears that, what's the first thought that comes into his mind?
More free labor.
Now, I want to take you back in time. Quite a few years. Laban's sister was married off to a guy called Isaac. Isaac's didn't turn up, but Isaac's servant, Abraham's servant, turned up with camels and goodies, loads of dosh, yeah, and when this guy turns up, you think, I suspect that's what goes through his little head, you know, the money is possible, yeah. But anyway, second please. While he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep. Oh, we've done that, eh? What was it? Well, we ain't going the wrong way, eh? As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. That's being hospitable, isn't it? Well, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt, yeah? He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. And then Laban said to him, you are my own flesh and blood. Well, I suspect he looked around, where's the camels? So he got him to tell him what the background was, and then said, yeah, you're the real thing. You're my own flesh and blood. Very good. Next one, please. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, just because you're a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be. So there they are at the evening meal, just chatting away. He says, well, you've been with me for a month now, you shouldn't work for nothing. Does that tell you that Jacob was working? Yeah. I think it does. It means he's a bit of a worker, I suspect. Yeah? He wasn't just there sponging, he was contributing what he could, doing his bit. Yeah. But who mentioned wages? Laban, yes. Well, there we are. Well, it's beginning to sound a bit more permanent, isn't it, you know? It was meant to be a visit. But now it's turning into a job, by the sounds of it. So he says, well, how much? What do you want? I'm going to strike a bargain here. So, what are you going to say? Next, please. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Now, two sisters. The older one, it says that she had weak eyes. It's a funny word to translate, that one. It can mean delicate. I believe the message says she had nice eyes, which means she didn't look much good back from anything else. I don't know. Dear Leah has got weak eyes. One commentary I read said that possibly she had blue eyes. And in a very bright environment, blue is a disadvantage. Yeah, so she might have been more of an indoor girl, whereas the shepherdess, she's able to go outside and all that sort of thing, yeah? Yeah, right. Well, anyway, but the younger one, she's an absolute stonker.
Right.
Is that a good word?
No.
She's beautiful. She's beautiful, yeah? Right. Now, a question I've got for you on this one. Beauty. Beauty. What is beauty?
In the eyes of the beholder.
Well, let's have a look at our next picture. Right? What's beautiful today?
Skinny.
Someone who needs a good meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who's wearing rags. Do you know you pay for this stuff now? Do you know when I was young, I mean that's a long time ago now, remember? Do you know what we did with those things? We'd bin them. What's beautiful is in the eye of the beholder. I've got a feeling, you know, our society is very negative. It doesn't celebrate beauty anymore. I mean, you look over the times of the history of the world. I mean, you look at the Greek statues, the Roman statues, the medieval paintings. All the women would have been, we would have said, us humans now, would have said, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
But I've got problems with some of these. I know, potential, yeah, but, man. Go on, give them three dinners and we might get somewhere.
Dennis, yeah. A lady went into Harrods with jeans like that.
Right.
And
she bought jeans like that?
No, she wanted to go into Harrods to buy something, but she was wearing jeans like that. And he said, sorry.
Yes.
You can't come in.
Yes.
She said, you sold me those jeans for £200.
There you are. Yeah.
I should be allowed to come in.
Anyway, dear friends, all I can say is beauty. I suspect Rachel was a real beautiful girl. Yeah. She'd have been left outside in today's fashions, but I know which one's the best. Anyway, next thing. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, well, that was quick, wasn't it? Yeah. Head over heels, straight away.
You've been here a month. Don't take
long. Don't take long. No, these young ones. No, right, yes. Young blood.
He was in love.
Anyway, he's in love with Rachel. He says, I worked for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. That's the deal. Yeah. He can't afford the dowry because he hasn't got anything with him. Yeah. So this is his way of saying, I'll provide the sort of dowry type thing. I'll work for Rachel 7 years. I wonder why he decided on seven. Oh, could you have negotiated down a few years, you know? I mean, how many camels are you worth, you know, something? Anyway, there we are. 7 years for Rachel. So what does Dad say? Next, please. Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. That's very matter of fact, isn't it? And I pray, the women were poorly treated in this culture. She's a commodity. Palm her off to somebody. But I've got a question for you. If that's the type of man and culture that these girls are in, what choices have they got?
Not
a lot, is it? Yeah. That will apply in a little while, yeah, as you'll see, yeah. So he decides, yeah, fair deal, 7 years of work, you can have the young man. That's okay. Next thing, please. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. How about that? When you're in love. Yes, it's great, isn't it? He's working away, it doesn't seem work at all. That's why I love coming here, because I love you all, you see. It doesn't seem like any work at all. Well, Jacob found that. He's enjoying doing the job because he thinks, I'm going to marry Rachel. You see, that's the thing. Great, lovely. Next one, please. Then Jacob said to Laban, this is after 7 years, that went quick, didn't it? Give me my wife, my time is completed and I want to make love to her. So notice, just by the way, boys and girls, he waited. Mm. Right, okay, so Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. It's a wedding feast, yeah, so a big invite, get all the neighbours around, everybody in, we'll celebrate. Very good. But when evening came, do you like that? But when you know what happens when evening comes?
It goes dark.
Yes. There's no lighting. I mean, lamps, little lamps and things like that. But the sun goes down, lights have gone. Yeah, right. When evening came, he took his daughter Leah. This is Laban, of course. Took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob. And Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. So buy one, get one free. Yeah, that's. You've got Zilpah as the maid for Leah. Yeah. So, question. Why didn't Leah say anything?
Because she didn't want to be found out.
Dad had told her, say nothing. I suspect that's part of it. But I think there's something else. I think she likes Jacob.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she thinks, this is my way to get Jacob. I think that may be what she's thinking.
The older daughters get married first.
The older daughters get married first, do they?
Yeah.
Well, let's see what happens. Okay, so he in the morning, when morning came, there was Leah. What a shock to the system that was, eh? Yeah. So Jacob said to Laban, what is this you've done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me? So he's a bit miffed, isn't he? Been conned, we could say. So he gets rather upset about it, yeah? Now, you reap what you sow, brothers and sisters. Is that right? Quote from Galatians, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Well, what's just happened to Jacob? He's been deceived. Yeah. Well, he was good at dishing it out, wasn't he? Yeah. He's coming back, it seems.
That's right.
Yeah? Yeah. He deceived his father. Mm. Yeah, all the clothing. And he deceived his elder brother. He got him out of the birthright. I mean, it was a bit of a con job, really. I mean, Esau sold it. But it was all a bit not quite right, you know. So it's not nice when it comes back to you, is it? So be careful what you dish out, because it may come round. Yeah, so you reap what you sow. Next one, please. Yeah. Right. Laban replied, "It's not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. It's not our custom here." Well, dear friends, you see what I've got next to him there? Do you know what that is?
Moving goalpost.
It's a moving goalpost. Yeah. You make the rules up as you go along to suit what you want. I don't think it was a custom.
No.
No?
Yeah, it was certainly made up as a custom.
It was made up as a custom, yeah? Yeah. I just think he's made this up because that's the wangle he's pulled off. You think it was the genuine way to... They do that in Africa then? The oldest has got to go first.
Yeah.
But what if she's an ugly old so-and-so? You're stuck, aren't you?
Yeah,
well,
it all started with him,
didn't
it?
Well, yeah, anyway, I think he's pulling a fast one, but
that's
why he had to get rid of
her first, because she was, you know.
Well, I just think she had blue eyes.
No.
5'2", eyes blue. Oh, what the? That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, but there was a thing
about
the old maiden girl that went married.
Ah, well, anyway, there we are.
Why is all the attention to the beauty, all on the outside?
Yeah, question. I should have said that earlier on. Yes. What is beauty, dear friends? Yeah. It's not just outward looks. Yes. I was reading the other day in the time and life of David. He had a son called Absalom, and Absalom was the most handsome man in Israel. You know, outward looks, photogenic, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. The inside, nasty. Yeah. So there's more to beauty than meets the eyes. Yes. And Peter says, you know, to the ladies, you know, your beauty shouldn't just come from all the bling that you wear. He doesn't use that word, but that's the idea here. He says it's from the inner beauty of a good spirit. Yeah. So, and that's true. I mean, you've probably met people. They may not be good looking, in one sense, in the natural, yeah, but their personality just shines through, and they're lovely people. Yeah. Okay, so this is the custom that's just, I think it's just been invented, but it had got to Africa already. Yes, that's what it is. Okay, next one, please. Yeah. Finish this daughter's bridal week, they will give you the younger one also in return for 7 more years of work. Oh, gotcha, eh? Isn't he a wangler, eh? Gee, yes. Right, so he says, you know, let's do the decent thing. Give her the week out, yeah, and then we'll have another wedding, and you can have her as well. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's just dishing them out, isn't it? Yeah, it's a cat in the. It's been caught. Yes, yeah. Anyway, he's caught Jacob definitely, good and fast. Yeah, but 14 years worth he's getting out of it now. Right, next one, please. And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her attendant. So, buy one, get one free. See? These two servant girls, the maids, will eventually become his wives as well. But that's another story for another day. So
what does that mean? He keeps her too? It's a two wives.
He's got two wives.
So that's okay.
No, we'll come to that in a minute, yeah. But yeah, he's finished up with two wives,
yeah.
Two wives and two maidservants. Yeah. Some commentary made, I came across, it said those two girls that were the maidservants might have been his daughters via a concubine. You know, sort of cheap daughters rather than... Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, this is how they treat women in some of these times. It's not good. Not good at all. Right, next one, please. Yeah? Right. Jacob made love to Rachel also, and his love for Rachel was greater than his love for Leah, and he worked for Laban for another 7 years. No, 14 years.
Oh,
right, we've got another 7 coming. No, Laban hasn't finished yet, you know. He's the chief extractor. He'd get anything out of anybody, yeah? But the thing I want to point out here is that in this marriage, yeah, there's a favourite. Yeah. And, well, understandable, isn't it? And you know, the rivalry between Leah and Rachel
lasted 1,000 years.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah? Strange, isn't it? Rachel has Joseph. Yeah? And Leah has Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And the northern kingdom and the southern, no, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom split. Yeah? It lasts 1,000 years. Oh, I mean, there were times when they were all together, but you know, it's not good. So let me have a look at our next one, please. Yeah, right. We've finished him. Right. Next one, please. And next one, yes. Health warning. Yes, a health warning. I saw. I'll say this now because I was watching a program on the box. It was one of these sort of murder mysteries, you know, Father Brown. Yeah. And there's one guy. He married 18 women. Yeah. And he used the Bible as a justification for marrying a load of women. Yeah. I got news for him. This account cannot be used to justify polygamy. As the story unfolds, we'll see it's a disaster.
Yeah.
Yes. And all the polygamous marriages you see in the Bible are not recipes, they're warnings. Disaster is heading your way. And what was it tripped Solomon up? Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, it's a disaster. God's plan still stands. Did you know that? One man, one woman. That would get me into trouble these days as well. But that's God's plan. Don't care what the government say. God's plan, one man, one woman. That's marriage. Yeah. Next slide, please. So, here we are. What was God doing with Jacob? And this is the point I want to really share with you today. What's God doing with Jacob? Was it just justice? Payback time, you reap what you sow.
No,
because God loves Jacob. Yeah? He'll allow things to happen that cause us to begin to start to think things in a new way. God isn't doing him in the scales of justice. I believe it's this. What's that? It's making a sculpture.
Yeah.
The I think it was Michelangelo. He says he's got a block of marble. He says, "You see a block of marble. I see the finished work." Yeah? God sees what he wants you to be. And he'll allow the chisel to have a go at you in order to get you to there. And that's what I believe God's doing with Jacob. It's not simple payback. God's allowing him to go through experiences that help him to think a rather different way about things in the days that are to come. God's reshaping him. And he's reshaping the old image that's damaged and spoiled. Yeah? God's image to be restored. Yeah? So that's, I think, what's going on with Jacob. And if that's what's going on with Jacob, maybe some of the things that happen in your life, you know, maybe God's saying, and someone said, it was Seton the other day, he'd heard something, and it was this: don't ask why, ask what for. Why looks back as to what's happened, what for tries to make sense of what the future's about. God's got plans, he's got purposes, yeah? And Jacob, you're going to learn a few things, and it won't be nice. I mean, if you've been a cheater all your life, when it starts happening to you, you might begin to think differently. Yes? So God allows these things. But he's reshaping Jacob. That's what's going on. Next slide, please. So here we have a verse from David. David in his psalm. And it's something we all need to bear in mind. He says, "Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you." Lord, if you kept a record of sins, God's got a good memory. How does he manage to forget your sins and mine? Because he's got a rubber. It's called the blood of Jesus. It erases that, yes. But he says, "Lord, if you kept a record..." And David could say that. And he could look back. He'd blown it quite a few times. "Lord, if you kept a record of sins, who could stand?" Anybody volunteering to try and stand? I hope not, because I've got news for you, you won't. Yeah. Nobody can stand before a holy God and say, "I'm alright," because we're not. But we stand before a holy God in the forgiveness that we have in Jesus. Yeah? Lord, who would stand? But with you there is forgiveness. And so we worship God with reverence. Well, Jacob's learning this, you know. He's got a long way to go, but God loved him. Next one, please. And it's the last one, I think, yeah? So, what's the plan? Is there a plan going on in all of this? What's God up to in the story of Jacob? I mean, it's a mess. I mean, if you wanted dysfunction, I mean, we talk about dysfunctional families today, don't we?
Yeah,
this is seriously dysfunctional family coming up. Yeah, crazy. And yet, in this mess and self-inflicted idiot stuff that goes on, God's working out a plan. Maybe there's good news for you and me in that. Have you been in a bit of the soup occasionally? The mess that life sort of dishes up at us? Is God doing something? Is he at work? Sure is. You might not always see it. You've got to wait for that one. It's only when you look back you think, ah, that's what he was up to. Yeah? And so, the plan is still on track. What is the plan? God told it to Abraham. The plan is, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless the world. And the way I'm going to bless the world is that through you and your descendants, there's going to come one through whom total forgiveness is available. I mean, it wasn't all those words that Abraham was told, but that's what it's about. Yeah? Total forgiveness available through the Messiah, Jesus. Yeah. That's the plan. And so, God gets this guy called Jacob, the twister, the deceiver, and he's going to scrunch it, like, you know what you're doing with clay, you know? Lump of clay. Scrunch it up, and then reshape it into something you want. That's what God's doing with him. And so, dear friends, don't despair if you're in the crunching machine. Ah, it's not funny, is it, when you're there? Not funny, no. But God's not forgotten. And there's a lovely verse in Jeremiah, and that was written to a group of people that were sent into exile. Everything's gone wrong. They've lost their home, they've lost all their history, all their background, and they're sent as slaves to a foreign country, and God tells Jeremiah to write a letter to them. And what's the message in the letter? I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Can't be bad. And what are you going to do with it? You've got to believe him. In the middle of nowhere, you've got to believe him. Jacob is learning that God does things God's ways, and God's ways aren't always easy ways, but they're the best. We're going to see it. Do you know what? Take part of the plan. Do you know what's going to happen to this guy called Jacob? You know what he's called? Jacob? We'll come to him later on. Yeah. He's going to have a change of name. Yeah. He's going to be called Israel. What's Israel mean? Prince with God. Yeah. Twister to prince? Is it possible? By the grace of God it is. Just think, Paul writes to some of these Christians in Corinth. He says, just think what some of you were. Yeah? You were drunkards, cheaters, immoral, you name it, it's in the list. It says, that's what you were. But now, you've been washed, you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Yeah. Different. Okay, princes and princesses, in the making. Yeah? Work in progress, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's Jacob as well. So, the plan's still on track. As strange and crazy as our world is. Of course, what's the next part of the plan? God sent the Saviour. Jesus died and rose again. He offers salvation to anyone who will receive him.
Yeah.
What's the next part of the plan? He's coming back to take us to be with him forever. That's the next part of the plan. Right? He's been good on the first part. I'm waiting for the next. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, thank you. Thank you for Jacob and the lessons in this man's life, Lord, a lot to learn. Some hard lessons, Lord. And people's lives and feelings get hurt in the process. But Lord, thank you, you love us. You love him. And Lord, thank you, we can ask you to help us to trust you when we can't make sense of it all. Lord, thank you, you can use, and only you can do that, Lord, the bad stuff, the cheats, the deception, the lies that are put on us, Lord. You can use those to turn things to good for us. Lord, thank you. Lord, you're a wonder worker. Work in all of our lives and help us to keep trusting. Lord, we're going to see you one day. We're going to see Jesus. We bless you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.